Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying, okay?
Christy Wowerty Dowerty.
Jamie, she has no last namey. Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Nobody socks it to us like Amy Tsakarellis.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Megan the Slayer Taylor.
Kelly Barlow, when she goes Barlow, we go high low.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the bird.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Hot dang, it's Jessica Dang.
He makes us squee, Richie D. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Hannah, God, I love that banana. Anderson.
Higher than high res, it's Lauren Perez.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Lisa Wallant, now that's what I call Wallant. The Bay Area betches, betches. And our super premium Patreon subscribers.
Give them hell, Miss Noel.
Always ready for Nicole Passeretti.
One day your Rachel's in, and the next day you're out.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
Yes, we can with Howley, Carolyn, and Anne.
Nancy Cease and DeSisto.
Joey Grant, the Grandmaster. Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Shannon out of a cannon Anthony.
The incredible Edible Matthews sisters. And
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens.
Crappens. Happens.
Crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. Is what happens when there's so much that crappens. Watch what crappens. Watch what crappens. What happens when there's so much that crappens.
Hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap we just love to talk about on Ye Olde Broads. It's me and Ben, Ronnie and Ben. We are sitting in a hotel room here in the lovely Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. What's going on?
Everybody, this is a late night recap of Real Housewives of Atlanta in our hotel room, because guess what? That's where we are right now, okay? That's it. I don't even have any reasons for you, except that's just what's happening.
That's what's happening. And our audio sounds extra special today.
Always. All week it's going to be like this. Yeah. Our whole podcast is like this. Like, every episode we're starting it off like, well, here's why our audio's terrible. Guess what? Our audio's terrible because we're called Watch What Crappens, and that's how we roll, okay?
Yeah, we're recording this off our iPhones today because we're on the road, and that's just how we roll sometimes.
Mm, yeah. So here's a list of our live shows. We're coming to New York this week. Both of those are sold out. See you in New York, suckas. St. Louis, Philadelphia sold out, but there's tickets for the late show in Philly. Then there's Denver, Seattle, the 2020 Golden Crappies in L.A., then Detroit, Columbus, two shows in Austin. Early one is sold out, so get your tickets for that late show. Then Houston the next night, then Birmingham, Alabama, New Orleans, Kansas City, Omaha, Salt Lake City, Vancouver, Orlando, Charleston, and Oklahoma City. So we'll see you guys there. Go get your Shannon shirts and your Christmas shirts and all that good stuff at watchwhatcrappens.com. Also, give us a call on Cameo, okay? You want a Cameo? Do it. Okay, so today we're talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta, which is at World Pride. It's not just gay pride. It's gay world pride.
Gay world pride is a very, very big episode because it's the return of NeNe Leakes, the return that everyone has not been waiting for at all.
Oh, God. And NeNe is doing she's doing the Bravo thing. It's 2019 still, and it's the year of everybody's third fucking chances in life. Everybody's having their redemption story. Let's count who's had them, Mad Ben. We had Jax.
Yeah.
Which contributed to one of the worst seasons ever of Vanderpump Rules. So thanks for that non-redemptive storyline. Still a prick. Carl.
Carl. Tamika. I don't know, was there, like, did, cigarettes, did they have a redemptive story this year?
Cigarettes actually did have a redemptive story, because vaping became worse than cigarettes, oh, and now people are quitting vaping to go back to cigarettes.
Wow.
I mean, wow.
Wow, yeah, cigarettes 2.0.
Yeah, yeah.
It's, you know, it's hard, like, it's hard to tell who has had the redemptive thing. I do know that NeNe Leakes was nowhere to be found BravoCon weekend. All the biggest Bravo stars were there, but not any leaks.
Yeah, we'll actually be covering the BravoCon Watch What Happens Live, because Avi, we weren't there either. But we watched the Watch What Happens Live. That'll be on our bonus. But yeah, Nene wasn't there. Sonya wasn't there. I heard that she wasn't allowed to come because of insurance. I don't know if that's true. But we'll talk about more of that later. But yeah, Nene's such a diva. She probably wouldn't share the stage.
Yeah, I would imagine that's what it was. It's like, if Kenya's going to be there, she's not allowed to be. She's not going to go there, as if anyone cares. So this week, the episode opens up with Cynthia and Eva driving along, talking about houses and stuff. They're going house hunting because Eva needs a new house again, because they're like in a condo because they had to move again because Eva's ex has found them or something like that.
Yeah, he's like a stalker or something. So he keeps finding them and people keep blowing up her spot. So she has to move to a new place. And they're driving around, you know, and Eva's, we talked about this last week, her opening line is basically like bragging about being poor, you know, like, money's not important to me. Parking spaces are, or whatever the hell she said.
Parking spaces.
So she's like poor bragging, but now she's kind of trying to rich brag again and pretend that she could afford anything she wants.
Yeah.
But she just needs a good yard or something. Yeah. You know, she's doing that thing. It's like, I would move into the White House, but you know what? I just need a bigger yard. That's it.
She's basically on like the most boring episode ever of House Hunters, you know? So she and Cynthia are talking about Nene, and Eva's saying that she has not talked to Nene at all, and that things are have like iced over between the two of them. And she's like, you know, one of the reasons why I'm cool on Nene and the wig and the glue that keeps her family together is because, you know, because she's basically a bitch, you know?
Yeah. She knows about my ex, like, trying to come for me, and she brought that up in public and basically, you know, blew me up. And so Cynthia's like, well, child, that glue may keep her family together, but not a friend's.
Yeah.
Like, well, Cynthia's just whipping them out this year.
Exactly.
So they go check out this house. I feel like I'm not buying a house from a lady in a name tag. There, I said it. I don't know about if that's just how it works, but no.
Yeah. You want her reputation to precede her. You want her name to just be like a known fact.
Yeah, well, and I just don't want someone who looks like they're about to take my return at Ross. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want a name tag. I want you to say, hi, my name is so, because this is like the CarMax of house buying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to go to a fucking BMW, not a CarMax. Even though, like, let's face it, where am I really going to be? CarMax!
Hey, you can get a BMW at CarMax, you know?
That's true, but then you have to get goop off to get the CarMax sticker off the back at the end, or everyone's like, oh my God, he's in a CarMax Beamer.
And then you actually have to start subscribing to Goop to figure out like what's the best way to make your BMW smell like lovely on the inside.
Yeah, some things are so sticky that only Gwyneth Paltrow's personality can like repel them off of metal.
Have a conscious uncoupling of the goo and the glass. So they walk around this house. It looks really nice. It's like five bedrooms or something. I think it's five bedrooms. It's how many? It's 3,700 square feet. And it's only $775,000. I say only because in LA, it's like to get something that is literally a quarter of the size would cost $2 million.
Did they say it's 3,700 square feet?
They did, 3,700 square feet.
And Eva's like, I don't know if that's enough room. Yeah, oh, Eva, please.
That's exactly. Like, okay. She's like, I'm afraid I'm going to outgrow it. It's called get a bunk bed, you know?
Yeah,
it's called
you're renting your flip-flops. No one is buying that you need more room than 3,700.
And don't act like this is going to be your forever home. Okay, this is your next 3 months home until Kevin McCall finds it again.
I know. How can you try and hide in a like 5,000 square foot house?
Well, my favorite thing that they do on Bravo is pretend to look at houses and then decide that, you know what, they're gonna like save their money. It's like, where did they do that recently where they looked at a house and it was just like clearly beyond their means? Like, you will
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Yes, that's right. Candace and Chris. They look at like a $2 million house, you know, when they're still like stocking up on like lean cuisines from Costco. And then they're acting like, oh, you know, I like this, but it's just not quite the right fit. So we'll just have to keep looking. Yeah, it's not quite the right fit because it doesn't cost $35.
Yeah, it's very Dorit. You know, like, we own the house, Jennifer Lopez lived. No, you don't, Dorit. So Cynthia's that kind of friend who's supportive, and she is being supportive. Like, listen, anyone who house hunts with you is supportive. especially when they know there's no chance in hell you're buying that house.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's that kind of friend who's supportive, but she can't really fake it that well. And she's like, oh my God, I love this. It's a bathtub. I love the bath. I love a shower. Oh, a shower reminds me of my boo. Okay, Cynthia, this is not about you. And then she's like, I love a fireplace. Cynthia, everybody loves a fire. Like, literally no one has ever gone into a house and been like, I don't want a fireplace. Gross. Fat people come down that in the middle of the night and eat my cookie.
Cynthia would like every single feature in a House Hunters episode. Oh, I love... Wow! Oh, these cabinets from 1977. I love them. I love them. This door jam that's also like falling apart. It's got mold in it. I don't know. I kind of love it.
I love wallpaper and popcorn ceilings and flat walls.
Closed layout. I like it.
I want to be in the center of town and on the beach.
I like that this is not close to the road and that it's up 45 steps.
Yeah. So Cynthia's like, you can afford this, right? And she's like, well, yeah, despite me being completely broke, apparently, according to Nene or Marlo.
And then Eva's like,
you're also house shopping with someone with a name tag. So I don't know, you're not helping yourself.
Yeah, exactly. And then she's like, you know, she goes, you know, I mean, it's a little small, you know, she's, I'm not mad at this little house though. Like she's acting like it's just like a tiny little something, like a cottage. Yeah. Like she's a freaking like Vanderbilt. Like, no, you take that house. It's a nice house.
Take the house. Take the CarMax house and shut up.
So they start talking about work and Eva's basically like, I need Portia to come back to work because I'm like exhausted. And, you know, they're just like chatting and basically Eva is saying that she really regrets not bonding with Cynthia sooner because they're having so much fun, you know, and we see like flashbacks of her last year being really shady to Cynthia.
Yeah.
Like mother.
And Cynthia at first was mad because Eva was caught saying that Cynthia hired her boyfriends. And Cynthia realized they have more in common because, like, she finds her boyfriends from people wearing name tags, too. So they have a lot in common. So that's cute.
Yeah.
The CarMax of boyfriends. so then they're talking about Nene because they're going to World Pride. And she's like, is that going to be okay at World Pride? Girl, going to World Pride, Nene, is the last of your problems, okay? Every step you take at any kind of gay gathering, you could be cut at any moment. That is the last of your worries.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, exactly. So they're basically talking about how Nene has like no accountability for anything she says. And that Cynthia's like not too worried about seeing Nene because they were both at the Kentucky Derby. So there was gonna be like Cynthia was like bracing for a low moment and was like practicing her like high and by, which would probably go like high and by. You know,
how about you?
but then like ultimately Cynthia, if I'm not mistaken, Cynthia winds up being like, you know, we've been friends for a long time and like we can get past this. Did she say that we can get past this? Or did she say the opposite?
No, she was just basically, yeah, she did say she feels like I put a question mark at the end. So I was confused. I feel like we can get past it.
Yeah. Cause I was like, wait, I thought you guys were like never going to be friends again. But we know that's not really going to happen because it's Cynthia and she's like desperate for approval.
Yeah, Cynthia's easily swayed. So then we go over to Tanya's room.
I'm like, that's right. This is the first night, the first true night of Real Housewives of Atlanta. Tanya's back.
Yes, because Nene had a tweet earlier saying like, welcome back to the real premiere of Real Housewives because these bitches tried, but they just couldn't handle it. Yeah. But yeah, it is the real beginning. It's the lady with the hibachi grill in her, or hibachi room in her house.
Yeah. So they're at Tanya's house. And so Portia comes over and is like, knock, knock. And Tanya's like,
Tanya's one of my all-time faves because only Tanya could have this opening line in her first line of the season. Oh, I hope she eats cheese. That's like so Tanya.
That's like that that stupid song. I forgot the name of it. I won't even go.
I hope she eats cheese.
I hope she eats cheese. One of my favorites. Who sings that? Like Leanne something.
Leanne Lockett's new single.
I hope she eats cheese. Leanne Womack. So Portia's like, well, I can't even, like, literally this is like the day after our like two Chicago shows and me trying to do a falsetto, like doing Portia's voice. I'm like, well, Well, she was Nene's friend, and then she was Eva's good friend, and now she's my... I'm like, I'm doing like Kinsey Mortimer. I have to stop. I'm just going to stop.
And now she's my fan friend. And they're showing the chyrons under each of her name, because when Tanya came on, and they had the chyron that said Nene's friend, and then she was in another scene with Eva and had a chyron that said Eva's good friend. And then under Portia, it says Portia's friend friend.
Yeah, it's her friend friend. So basically, Portia and Dennis became really close to Tanya and Paul because they just, like, Tanya and Portia were friends, and Paul and Dennis were friends, and they were friends together as a couple. So they were like each other's, like, they're like the couple friends they would always do things with, you know, like, hey, have hibachi in the basement.
Do you know who's friends? Husbands who cheat on their wives. That's who's friends. Birds of a feather. Okay, yeah. I'm warning you right now, Tanya. I know nothing about your husband, but I know he likes hanging out with Dennis the Hot Dog King. So watch your man. Okay?
Yeah.
Because guys don't just go out and cheat on their own, okay? They usually go in packs.
Yeah, yeah,
I don't even know if that's true, really, but why, it sounds good.
Why buy the cow when you can get the hot dog for free?
Good point. I hope she likes cheese!
So, basically, Tanya hasn't spoken to Nene either. Big shocker. And so they just start talking, and then they just start talking about Portia and Dennis.
And yeah, I'm done talking about Portia and Dennis, okay? You married a fucking guy. It makes me crazier every episode because Portia, and I love Portia, obviously, but, yeah, you know, we all knew this wasn't going to last. And she keeps saying things like, he cheated on me while I was pregnant. He cheated on you before you were pregnant. He's going to cheat on you while you're pregnant. And he's going to cheat on you after you're pregnant. He cheats. That's a pattern.
He makes hot dogs and cheats. That's what he does.
Yes, enjoy your hot dog and shut up already.
Yeah, and then, well, this time we did learn that he kind of was blaming it on Portia, saying that she was emotionally unavailable to him, which is bullshit. And she's like, look, I even have the photos. Like, here's me taking a selfie with you in the corner. Here's another picture of me taking a selfie with you in the corner at a baseball stadium. And here's another picture of me taking a selfie of myself with you in the corner.
Yeah, only Portia would use selfies as evidence that she's paying attention to you.
Emotional availabilities. But then, you know what's so funny? This is the smallest thing, but for some reason, like, I loved it. It's like not even a funny thing, but you know, Tanya was basically saying that Dennis has to do the work, and Portia goes, yeah, but like I have to be ready to accept it. And Tanya was eating, and she just, her mouth is full, and she goes, mm-hmm. And I was like, I love that Tanya gave, like, a really strong, like, mouthful, mm-hmm. Because, like, I love a friend that does that. That's, well, like, this is like so important. I have to say, mm-hmm.
And this show, they actually eat. Like, Tanya said, what are you doing? What are you going to do about Dennis? I mean, what are you going to do? And that was kind of like Leah Black waking up in the middle of the night, like, oh, hello? Yeah, she said, what are you going to do? And Portia's like, hold on.
Nice.
Okay, ASMR. Hold on. Hold on, I'm a swallowing and swallowed. Okay, I'll answer your question.
They actually eat.
Yeah, but Tanya's like, mm-hmm. And for some reason, it's like my favorite thing. So now we go over to Kenya at home with Brooklyn.
Just in case you forgot, Kenya has a baby. And you know, because she keeps going, are you hungry, baby? Do you want to eat, baby? Hi, it's a baby. Hi, baby. I have a cookie for you, baby. Don't eat this cookie all at once, baby.
Yeah. So Kenya's cousin, Shay, comes over. And, like, I've always liked Shay. But you know what? One of my pet peeves is of people coming into rooms and saying, hola, chica. And Shay does that. And I was like, Shay, I was rooting for you.
Why don't you like that? Are you just opposed to other languages?
Well, I would like it. I like authentic versions. I don't know. It's like a little basic to me.
Hola, chica.
Hola, chica.
Would you prefer, hey, girl? Hey, I don't know. I like hola, chica. I feel like it's embracing. It's like, hi, world. It's world pride. Hola, chica. ¿Cómo estás?
To me, it's the winning of hellos. It's like, everyone should just walk into a room and, first of all, just say, hello, I have arrived.
Yeah. Hello. I've arrived. This is the Countess speaking.
So basically, Shay comes over to Brooklyn and tries to take Brooklyn out of, like, the little, like
high chair
without taking the tray out, and Kenya has a conniption fit.
Yeah. It's like, that's not how you do it! So Kenya's talking about how she goes into helicopter mode. Not helicopter.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. What is a helicopter?
I thought you were about to say Holocaust mode. I was like, oh, God.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Now, that would be a really offensive way to say hello.
Helicopter.
No, helicopter mom. So last year when Kenya was talking about getting pregnant and stuff, and I was talking about how she's going to buy her baby at a dollar. Like, I didn't believe that she's actually going to have a baby, which I admit when I'm wrong. Okay.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
You're very. Yeah.
But, I also remember us talking about, I think you were the one who was like, okay, she's going to be jealous of that baby in 5, 4. And sure enough, it's episode 2 with this fucking baby. Kenya's already jealous of the baby.
She's already feeding it a chocolate chip cookie. She's like a feeder, you know?
I know, puppies are allergic to chocolate.
You know it's a baby, right?
Yeah. My baby is my dog, so that's how I think of it. I'm like, do not feed that chocolate chip cookie to a baby dog.
So Kenya is...
That baby is fucking beautiful, by the way. I want to have a baby so bad.
Yeah, I don't want to have a baby so bad at all. But it is a cute baby.
I mean, I do, if you'll hold it most of the time. Or if you could just leave it like in that high chair until you're ready to like be like, hi.
You know what I would actually love would be a board game.
About babies,
it could be. If it's a good game, I will accept it if it's about babies. But so Kenya's basically saying it's been difficult with Mark because he's only in Atlanta every 7 to 10 days, which to me I think is actually
pretty good.
Oh, I was gonna say that's bullshit.
I think that's pretty good.
No, not at all. I don't think it's good if your spouse is unhappy with it. I think that there's a way to do it that like you do like 4 or 5 days in New York and like 1 or 2 days in Atlanta. It's not a cross-country flight. It's what, 2.5 hour flight?
But he works at restaurants. He works like all... I mean, listen, Kenya, you marry a guy with restaurants in fucking Brooklyn, you know he's not going to move. He told you right away he wasn't going to move. Like, hello?
But also, Mark, you marry a guy who... Marry a girl named... You know, like, marry someone who's on the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Like, her city is in her job description, you know?
Kind of, but then she left her job. She wasn't doing that. So maybe she was,
I think there's a way to do it, like, that's 7 to 10 days, especially when you have a new kid. I don't know.
If he was the one that was complaining and he's like, well, I don't see her enough, then I would say the same thing. Why would you marry someone who doesn't live in the same place? But he doesn't care. She's the one complaining. So
why doesn't he hire an assistant? He hires an assistant or someone under him to delegate some work a little bit. And then he like, come, I don't know. I just kind of feel
Listen,
like,
I don't I'm think not... anybody's going to be able to take Kenya every day. Okay. No. The first thing that baby is going to learn to do is to pack. I'm telling you that right now.
I just think that like he can do 4 days on, 2 days off. You know what I'm saying? Like he can do 4 days in New York, come down, whatever. He could like, honestly, he could do it. He could make
but
it
Kenya
work.
But Kenya would be like, 4 days. You're only here 4 days. Why
well, that's
here
true.
5 days.
That's fair.
It's really not, but I'm not really fair with Kenya because she just makes me fucking crazy. Like, I can't with you complaining that your man who lives in Brooklyn, like, your baby's named Brooklyn, okay? He's literally choosing 2 Brooklyns over you. That's a bad, bad sign.
I mean, the truth is that this was doomed from the beginning and there were a lot of bad decisions that were made along the way.
Yeah. Putting it simply. So Shay has heard this every day of her life, you know? So she's like, I am so sad for you. I guess he has to work. And Kenya's like, but then when he's home, then he wants the baby in bed with us, right in between us, so we can't even have sex. And like, I mean, hold on, let me put her in her little car. Baby, do you want to go to your car? It's for babies, baby. Something's got to change. And then she starts crying and stuff. And I'm trying to feel things, but I felt nothing.
Well, she basically is like, I don't know if I'm jealous that he gives so much more attention to Brooklyn, but I think I'm jealous.
Yeah. At least she knows.
Yeah. So now we had a really good run there. No Nini.
Yeah, it felt
life was good.
It was good.
Felt like everything was great.
I feel like a puppy who's just been fed a chocolate chip cookie, basically, in this scene. Okay, so they open this Nini scene. It's the weirdest opening. It's this weird, like... It's like in New York. For those of you who live in New York, I don't know if this is still on, but... On public access, they used to have the Robin Bird show, and it was like some old stripper
Yeah.
And, you know, and she'd have like strippers come on. And it was always like the Skinamax music that was playing, like old porn music. But it's Nene. It's Nene's house. And then it's shots of Nene getting her makeup done. And Greg just like wandering around the house like he's confused. Like, yeah, he doesn't know where he is.
He's just like walking down a staircase.
It's like aimlessly playing porn music in a retirement home.
And then there's like a whole like TV set up in the living room. So so what we found out is that Nene is going to be an ambassador for the American Cancer Society. Like, strange choice, I think. And it's also like an annoying choice because it's like that thing where you like, she just starts the season in a space that you can't like make fun of it or whatever, because like no one's gonna make fun of the American Cancer Society and no one should. And it's like she's almost like starting with this like this shield that I'm like, no, that's not fair. You know, I don't like that.
Hey, it's not fair. Your husband had cancer. Well, no fair, unfair advantage.
So,
but I know what you mean. Yeah, she's got this like, you have to be nice. Like, you can't say anything about that. I will say it's weird that they're playing porn music while your confused husband is walking around. And I will also say that it's weird that we're going into a cancer society scene and the music is saying, together we're gonna level up, level up, level up. How so?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
But... how so exactly?
So Greg is, like Nene basically says that her relationship with Greg is still healing. And Greg checks in on her while she's getting her makeup done because they're going to be talking in this like infomercial for the American Cancer Society. And Nene's sort of just saying like, I don't want to cry because then I cry. If I cry, everyone's going to start saying that I'm making it about myself. And Greg's like, but it is about you. It is. I'm like, okay. So she's basically beating him back into submission.
Yes. Well, he was always in submission even last year. And then this year, she's like, they're going to say I'm making it about me. You're using your first scene in The Housewives to do that and then cry to Greg that people are being mean to you when he was the one who had cancer. It's like the same problem, Nene. Like, you still don't see the fucking problem. And he's standing there like, you were the best to me, Nene. You did everything for me. She's like, I just can't forgive you. It's like, shut up, Nene. Jesus Christ.
And then she has the audacity to say, I am not the same Nene I was last year. I'm like, Nene, you filmed the reunion, what, in April, May, yeah, and start filming this, and when? Like, July? Like, what happened in 6 weeks?
Yeah. I'm just looking through my notes here because this is like so much sadness notes. But she's basically saying like she's got a spiritual advisor now,
yeah,
which is hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, glad that snake's still wandering around the garden. She's like selling apples.
Yeah.
So she's got a spiritual advisor, and they're not only helping her forgive Greg for all of his horrible stuff, but she's also helping Nene forgive her friends. Like,
yeah, good luck with that. Nene's like,
no one did anything to you, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like I was really judged a lot. Like, I was really judged a lot. I'm like, yeah, you were judged a lot because you act like an asshole. That's what happens. When you act like an asshole, you get judged.
Everything gets judged, okay? How do you think pies feel?
Yeah. How do you think you'd... I'm turned into a wah-wah guitar.
Because you're right. I think I just confused you by talking about pies.
No,
how would you know what pie is best if you don't judge it, you know?
Listen, Nene, you can't be shady to people without passing judgment. Hello?
Yeah.
So,
we wouldn't have a legal system if there wasn't judgment, okay?
So basically, Nene, who has changed so much, she's, she's going to be seeing Cynthia. And she had texted Cynthia recently. And what she had texted Cynthia was, you're so sad. The things that you're saying, you were never truly a friend, trying to clear your name, hashtag sad.
And the way that they presented this, she's like, you know, Greg, I've reached out to Cynthia. I've reached out to her.
Yeah.
And they get to Cynthia going, well, basically, the text was negative. And then she reads that horrible text. And then it says, try to clear your name, hashtag sad, snap, snap. And then it cuts back to Cynthia going, so I blocked her.
Yeah, good for you, Cynthia.
And Nene goes, bitch, I know what a block looks like.
Yeah.
And then just keeps snapping like she won something. It's like,
Yeah, exactly. So then Nene starts her interview and starts talking about like the challenging stuff or whatever, you know. So
yeah,
that was the thing.
Yeah. So then, and she actually comes off. Do you know this is what kills me? Isn't
she comes off about Nini? Well.
She comes off really well.
She's because she couldn't. She knows also how to.
Like, God damn it! She's so charming in this interview.
Yeah,
and it makes you like that Nini again.
Exactly. That's the Nini that we love.
Not even real or there anymore. You know.
That's what we've learned because she turns it on so quickly, like the charm and the likability. But it's. I think what we're learning is that it's just it's an illusion.
It's an illusion. Okay, so next up, you should let me love you. We're at a restaurant called Bula with Candy and Todd having a date because their baby is coming. And, okay, their baby is coming. So they FaceTime the Shadina. Mom, Shadina. Yeah, sorry, I was scrolling through to her name, Shadina. And Candy's like, oh. Sorry, yeah. I can't do any candy.
No, there's no. This is the day after our Chicago show. Yeah. There will
She's
be
like,
no candy
so
rules.
I see you got braids too. I'm like, oh, geez. So I just thought that was that? I just thought that was a funny thing because it's like she's talking about how it's hard not carrying her baby, and this other woman has her baby, and then they FaceTime her, and she's like, oh, great, now you have my braids. Would you like my husband? Would you like my fucking tufted couch?
I've seen enough Lifetime movies to know yes. that when the surrogate gets your hairstyle, you better
that is
you better That's figure something thinking. Out real quickly. You better change the locks.
Yes.
You better keep an eye on Todd.
Yes. Except Todd's just too lazy to chase anyone through the house with a knife. You know, it's like just like a Lifetime movie.
No, except if this were a Lifetime movie, like the surrogate would like. Basically lock Candy up in the basement and then be like, now we can be together. Oh, damn. Oh, I chose Todd?
Yeah. Actually, oh, Todd, shit. Could Actually, you go to the basement? I'm bringing Candy back
up. I'm just going
to
hang out with Candy. The surrogate who just puts the dad in the basement just wants to hang out with the mom.
Just wants to be with them.
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.
Mom, it's modern times.
So speaking of displacement, so what they are, they're talking about... first Candy is talking about, like, Todd. Todd always has something to say about the pregnancy or whatever.
Because Todd's like, well, are we going to have the... Who suggested having the surrogate? When my friends had a baby, my gay family had a baby, the surrogate was there, I believe.
At the baby shower?
Yes. And it was important to them that she was there. Mm. But Todd is saying,
Todd is saying there should be a baby there. I mean,
I can't remember who was the one who said that, she should be there.
Yeah, because Candy was like,
she's like, I don't know about that. And he's like, so what? You're just going to have a baby shower and stand there like normal?
because he's like, so it's like, are people going to touch Shadina's belly? And Candy's like, no, definitely not.
And Candy's saying, well, I haven't even shared on social anything about this baby. I'm like, Candy, you're on a top rated television show and you've been talking about this baby for a long time.
Okay,
let's stop pretending like you're a blushing new mother here.
And you had like a full episode about it with Dr. Jackie last season.
Yeah.
So so Candy's basically like, you know, Todd's always telling me what to do as a mother, but like what are you gonna do as a daddy, Todd? And he's like, get the paper towels.
Yeah. If that. Yeah. And she's like, well, you know, what are we going to do with the baby? And he's like, yeah, well, we've got to set up the baby's room. I mean, I don't want, and then Candy's like, well, I don't want Kayla to feel like we're putting her out of her room, but she's a little grown.
Which is what I said last week. I said, yep. Time to pack your bags, Kayla. You're an adult. Time to move on out.
Yes. And Candy totally agreed with you this year. Okay, everyone, there's going to be the sound of rustling.
Yeah, Ronnie's adjusting
position.
Oh, I've got
to turn over. Oh, God.
Okay, let me set the stage. The phone is on the bed. It's on the comforter. And Ronnie is he's adjusting a lot.
Sorry.
He's doing a lot of movements. I'm sitting on a chair.
This isn't like when I'm recording from my parents' house laying in bed and I can just turn over and like let my fat hang all over. I got to readjust.
You know what I love?
My shirt, my butt.
You know what I love is that we are going on to the WGN morning show tomorrow. And it's our first time ever appearing as podcasters on TV. And, when people see us on TV and they say, hey, I want to listen to Watch What Crappens, this is going to be the episode they hear. This is going to be the most recent episode. So welcome. Welcome.
We just gained thousands of listeners and lost thousands more, all in the same 5 minutes. Thanks, everybody. <I know.
laughs> Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast recorded on a duvet.
Yes, in a Hyatt.
In a Hyatt.
A Hyatt Place duvet.
Yes.
Ronnie
is so reclined right now. It is like hilarious. He's on his side. He's talking into his pillow. He is actually very comfortable.
I'm trying to stay still, Ben, because every time I move, the blanket rustles, and I know it's making people effing crazy. So Candy's like, Kayla's a little grown, and Todd's like, well, we set her up with this fashion thing, and, you know, she wants to go to New York to follow her dreams. And I said, maybe you should stack some money. And she's like, well, I tried to give her money for her birthday, but you said she couldn't do it. Mister, I'm up in the strip club with my daughter. And then we see all these news stories flashing across the screen. Todd Tucker under fire for taking 23-year-old daughter to the strip club.
I know. I don't actually have any problem with that because, like he said, she's an adult. But I also think that there's, like, more productive ways to spend time with your daughter. Like, because he's like, well, nowadays, your kids are on the phone, so how do you get through to them? I'm like,
with titties.
Huge,
huge titties.
Go to a museum. Walk in a park.
Nope. You need titties in the face.
Titties. Actually, I truly have no problem with it. I don't know. Todd really annoys me. He really bothers me. I don't know why. I used to really like him. Yeah, I think that Mama, like, Joyce got on my head.
He's strip club and he's throwing Candy's dollars on the
stage. Doesn't
work. I mean, he does work.
He works, but I do feel like he used to spend a lot of Candy's money. But then again, they're married, okay? And that's what happens. It's their own money.
You know, not to sound like a prude, but I would like my dad to teach my sister to, like, respect women maybe a little more, you know?
Yeah. I think that's a strong case.
I don't think there's any shame in sex work or anything. And if it's a woman, I think if it was Candy taking her daughter to the strip club, that would be different. But your dad, I don't like
that. I just think it's weird. Like, do you want to see your dad get a lap dance? I don't think I want to see that.
Hell no. Oh my God.
Poor Kayla. She's been through a lot. Christ. You know?
I don't even like to know my dad has a lap. I would be fine if my dad was just calves and a chest and a head.
Like Mr. Potato Head? Yeah. You want your dad to be Mr. Potato Head. Calves and a chest. you took away his...
Maybe that came out.
You want to give him like how about a torso? Give him a full torso. Oh. But the good news is that Kayla wants to do fashion now. So she wants to move to New York. Well, I guess you said that. But
yeah, I'm done with the scene.
But I'm like, okay.
Yeah, clear the scene.
Let's go to something more exciting, like Cynthia packing and FaceTiming with Mike Hill. Almost as compelling as, like, the Boz in the background. But,
yeah.
So she's FaceTiming with Mike and talking about going out to Pride.
Yeah, and he's like, wow, gay pride is so important. And she's like, it is. And he's like, so what about that bitch, Nene? You gonna talk to her?
Pretty much.
So then we go over to Portia changing her baby, which is just, I don't know. Can anybody just have a baby and be happy this season? Like, everybody's dropping babies.
No, you can't have a baby and be happy because babies don't inherently bring happiness.
They do.
They bring annoyance.
They bring the hope of the future. And poop. Lots of poop.
And poop. Lots and lots and lots of poop. So, yeah. So, basically, she's doing that. And then Todd, Ace, and Candy are playing T-ball. Kenya, we land on Kenya. And she's at home. And Mark is finally back.
And so What a dick.
Oh, my God.
This guy is like a bag of dicks. He's like a fucking extra large laundry bag full of dicks.
Yeah, a big old bag of dicks, okay? So, basically, Mark is, like, walking into the kitchen, holding Brooklyn and, like, already looking for breakfast. And of course, Kenya's past aggressive too. Kenya's jealousy really comes out in this scene. And she's like, oh, look at you. You're always holding her.
Look at you with the baby. Ha ha ha. ha, ha. And it's like, she's acting like she just hasn't had time to do anything this morning. She's in like full hair and makeup.
Yeah, exactly. So the big thing is that she's going to make breakfast for Mark, but she doesn't have eggs. And she's like, I feel so silly. I thought I had eggs. I'm like, are we bringing this storyline back again from the past 5 years?
Yeah. And why would he expect eggs? Like, do you even know who you married?
He's like,
what are you two playing at?
He's like, oh, it's college dorm refrigerator. I'm like, you know what? How about you put the baby down and go to the store and get some eggs, sir?
Yeah, or both of you call fucking Instacart. Like, what's wrong with these people?
Yeah, but he's just, I mean, talk about like a baby holding a baby. Just like act like, oh, if you know what?
Just come home and like, and she says, he's an alpha male. It's like, well, he's not going to last long around these parts. I don't know what the hell he was thinking.
So Kenya's like, he doesn't care if I'm running a $1 million company. I'm like,
name one.
What?
Speaking into an Alexa every day does not make you the owner of Amazon, man.
Yeah, okay. Running on a treadmill does not mean you own the treadmill company. And you're therefore running it.
100%.
So she goes, so she's like trying to get this breakfast situation fixed now that there's this like dark egg cloud. And she's like, I know everyone's asking you to bring Soko here, your restaurant. Like, clearly she like set, like promised that she would like plug his restaurant on national TV.
Yeah, he's only there to promote his restaurant. Oh,
yeah. And you think he'd be happy about it. And he's like,
so. What do you make pancakes out of? Don't you need eggs to make pancakes?
Well, I think she used the mix because...
Oh, I've never done that. What's in the mix? Just mix and water?
Yeah, just you can add water. I think it's just water.
God, the future is now, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and if you are going to use a mix, I highly recommend Krusty's because my friend Nikki, I always thought it was like Bisquick. I mean, I like to make it from scratch personally because I think it's fun and it's like not that much harder. But if you are going to do it from a mix, my friend Nikki was like, you have to use Krusty's, which is spelled... Krusteaz, kind of really annoying, but it's delicious. Totally kicks Bisquick's ass.
All right. Well, yeah. Thanks for the tip. But so, I have eggs, so
yeah. So anyway, so here she is trying to promote his restaurant for him on national TV, and he's just ignoring her.
And he disses her pancakes. I mean, this guy, get him the fuck out of your house.
Yeah, he's like. She's like, I like when you're here and you can relax with your family. He goes, and have breakfast with no eggs. I'm like, sir, the car's right over there.
The
car is there.
I called you 10 Ubers.
Yeah, get that. Go to the store. Go to 7-Eleven. You can get eggs anywhere.
This guy's such a prick. I'm not even going to feel for Kenya. Even though I am feeling for Kenya, I hate this person. All you're doing by even giving this person a chance in your life is enabling this kind of fucking dickish behavior. I hate even seeing it on my TV.
And I want to say something else. Okay, we've had this happen a few times on Bravo where someone never, ever, ever wants to come on camera because they're afraid of being judged poorly by the audience. The audience is going to hate them. And then they do come on camera and they act like a dick and then the audience hates them. And then they're like, see, I knew that would happen. You know, the people who are afraid to come on camera, the reason why is because they know they're dicks. They're dicks and they know they're dicks and they don't want to be held accountable. And this is what happens.
Well, Kenya's also doing that thing where she's like, what are you talking about? It won't be bad. You know that she's like, it's not going to be bad if you come on TV. And then the second the cameras are on, she's like, oh, why aren't you ever here? You know, because fucking Kenya, it's just how she is. So yeah. Kenya, she's like, let us pray. And he's like, are we going to hold hands? Like, he's even judging how she prays, okay?
Yeah.
So they all hold hands. Mm-hmm. By the way, he calls her. He disses her pancakes, and she's like, don't they look good? And he goes, God, Grubhub champion over there.
Yeah, well, then where were your fingers on your cell phone, sir? Where, put those fingers on the cell phone and call something, okay?
So anyway, they pray, and this is such a Kenya prayer. Thank you, Father God, for this meal. We ask you, Jehovah, to repair any broken hearts in our family. Like, Kenya, stop passive aggressively praying, okay? Like, you literally just took time out of God's day.
Yeah, to pass through a passive aggressive prayer. So, yeah, so basically, and so Mark is going to be doing some sort of birthday trip. I guess they're going on a birthday trip, and Mark wants to bring their daughter, and Kenya's like mad. that their newborn daughter, who she earlier said, I've waited long enough for you. I'm not going to let,
let you get out of a high chair with your aunt.
Yeah, but now suddenly the daughter can't go on the birthday trip, you know? Yeah. Like, I love this rivalry. And so basically...
Tanya's one of those people who's going to leave her baby on the top of the car. I'm telling you. It's like when you go to the gas station and you leave the pump in your... you leave the hose nozzle thing in your car and then drive off and it rips off. She's going to do that.
So Kenya's like... You know, I just miss being a girlfriend. You know, I'm a good mother and a good wife, but I don't know if the girlfriend is there. I'm like, maybe the problem is that there is a girlfriend in the picture.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Also, I'm a good wife. I've seen no evidence of that. this guy's a prick, but he's showing me no testimony to that. Brooklyn can't talk yet, so I can't ask her. So I don't know. Jury's out.
So then here's where you can really see trouble, because this baby is like 9 months old and I don't even want to see where this, you know what this is going to turn into? This is turning into like Mama D and Deandra. This is how Mama D and Deandra started.
Totally.
Because Kenya, you know what she asks Mark? She goes, cause she just asks like, who's number one, me or Brooklyn? So she's already pitting herself against her daughter.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Well, cause he starts it cause she goes, but if she comes on the trip and we go to dinner and want alone time, what do we do with that? You know, what do we do with her? And he goes, alone time without her? You're number one to me, baby. And it's like, don't, don't, don't. She goes, but I'm supposed to be number one. Who's number one, me or Brooklyn? I was like, he just said it. And so he goes, you mean the burrow? I was like, God. Oh, geez. And he won't even look at her, by the way.
He will not. And he's like, the wife, Kenya, versus the daughter, Brooklyn. I was like, totally. Oh, my God. Just please, let's just hope that in like 30 years, Kenya has a blonde square wig and is running a company that's on Christian television, because that's where this is going.
Oh, God. So then silent, sad weather. I was like, oh, geez, another sad. Who else had a baby? Like, what the fuck else? So, but it's not. It's New York Pride. It's World Pride Parade. And everyone's getting dressed. Yeah. So Nene... who has gotten a lot of trouble in the past for semi-homophobic remarks.
Yeah.
Or let's just say ignorant remarks, is with a gay getting her hair done. She's like, I want a gay hairstyle. And that means over the top. They want you to have four wigs, honey. And she's like looking in the mirror and he's made her look absolutely insane. And I was like, this guy obviously watches the show.
Yes.
Nice work, sir.
Yeah, exactly. So Marlo joins, while Nini's getting glammed up into this, like, over-the-top thing, whatever, because she's saying, like, how, like, gays will, like, cut you, whatever, that she's, like, nothing compared to these gays. But Marlo comes in, and she's, like, dressed like a dominatrix, but wearing also a captain's hat. She's like...
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's like one of those, it's like she just went to a photo booth. And they had a bunch of props, and she, like, put them all on.
Yeah,
and
like left. A wedding.
Yeah.
It's like one of those wedding photo booth things. Like she's, like, going to take a little sack and go put some jelly beans in it, like a candy mixture.
I'm surprised she didn't have, like, a mustache on a pole.
She's just throwing change at Mimi's head, like a wedding dance. So she's like, it's Captain Marlo. So you can tell these two haven't seen each other since... they shot either, right? Because it's still really awkward. So Nene's doing that Tamara thing where Tamara was so hated that she's like, I'm really Christian now. But Tamara really committed to it and wore big crosses and like,
yeah,
she really faked it well. But Nene's not even trying. She's being such a smartass. She's like, my spiritual advisor said, let it go. And so now I'm moving in the hands of the Lord. And she's just really smartassy about it. And I'm like, wow, I've seen a lot of people use God for bad reasons on these shows, but I've never seen people actually just smart off to God like she is in this show.
And Nene is thinking that is like acting as if like she has like become like a born again or something, or is suddenly on this like path to spiritual awakening. And then she's like, I will say hello. I'm like, just saying hello does not mean that like you have earned redemption. Okay. That's
yeah,
not
what would Jesus do. He would kind of say hello. Yeah.
Cause Marlo's basically like, no, say hi. Da, 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 da. She's like, no, I'm not going to say anything else other than hi and bye.
But also Marlo, who the fuck are you to tell anybody how to get along with anybody?
I know.
You'd be quiet too.
And so she's like, Captain Marlowe is speaking. And she goes, what boat are you on? I'm not on that boat.
Marlowe's like the Circle Line.
Yeah, Marlowe is. Oh, bless her heart. Yeah.
So then Cynthia, Eva's hanging out in her room, and Cynthia texts Eva. And so Eva, like, grabs her phone off the bed, very hostily also, by the way. It was like a close-up. So she grabs it, and there's an interview with Nini on social media. And Nini is telling a lady that when she sees Cynthia on the Bravo float, she'll say hello. But Nini says, you know, I was a friend to her. She knows that, and I know that. And she was a friend to me, and I was a friend to her. And Eva's like, so what's the problem?
Yeah, the interviewer's like, so what's the problem? She goes, well, I'm the kind of girl, like, if we're down, we're down. But nobody's going to tell me, you know, what to do. And people have told her to turn on me. You know, people don't tell me to turn on Cynthia. I'll do what I want to. But she's heard from everybody, and she believes it because she's weaker than me. She's really weak. She just follows along. She's desperate. She's really sad. Like, she just goes in.
Like, in a very spiritual way. I mean, I think that's really what Jesus would do.
Super spiritual, yeah.
Jesus would go on Instagram and just say, yeah, like, Judas is weak.
Yeah. That Thomas, what a fucker. Oh, my God.
Who's Thomas?
A disciple. Thomas. He doubted
Danny
Jesus.
Thomas. Danny Thomas, Jesus father was of Marlowe.
Like, you're going to do your... Yeah, Danny Thomas.
It all comes full circle.
Oh, don't bang the bed.
Sorry, everyone. I got so excited by, like, the Marlowe...
I'm telling Ben not to bang the bed. Literally, I'm laid across the bed. Just like,
I touched the duvet for one second because I got excited that there was, like, a Marlowe Thomas and Marlowe Hampton, like, crossover moment in my brain. I, like, touched the duvet, and I was like, Ben, try to be a professional here. Anyway,
Marla says the funniest thing to Nini. She's like, come on, Nini, you gotta try. I mean, everyone's gonna see you coming, and they're gonna think you're giving them emoji faces. She's like, what does that mean? She's like, I'll give them these beautiful teeth. And she's like, what would God do? He'd forgive and move on. And then he goes, forgive?
Yeah.
Like, well, thank you for not going the Tamra Barney route. That's all I'll say. Basically, thanks for staying evil.
Yeah, basically Nini's like, listen, I'm at this parade for the gays. I'm here for the gays, okay? And like, I'm not going to forgive and forget, because you know what? Cynthia has gone and done 7 interviews. And then we see this montage of Cynthia going to every outlet. She's like talking with the penny saver. And she's like, this is not a healthy person for me to be around. I deserve better. You know, our friendship wasn't real. They're like, ma'am, this is Motor Trend Magazine. Do you want to try the Acura? No, child, no. She's like, you know, and she's going on and on. And for a brief moment, I was like, you know, that's kind of true. I mean, Cynthia has gone everywhere. And I was like, no, Ben.
Well, they're asking
Don't
her.
Fall for Nini's bullshit. You know why? Because this is like one of the most classic things that happens. Someone acts like an asshole. They're an asshole, they're an asshole, they're an asshole. In this case, Nini. And then finally someone stands up to that person, has enough of it, after taking it for so long, and they react to that person being an asshole. And this is Cynthia's reaction to Nini. And then Nini gets mad at the way Cynthia reacted to her own asshole to begin with. If you don't pay attention, you believe Nini because you're like, that's not right. But you have to know, it's like, if you look at the full context, if you act a certain way, you are going to get a reaction, and you can't be upset that, actually you can be upset because technically that's the way something happens and then you're reacting to that. But you can't be surprised. Don't make it seem like Cynthia started it.
Well, exactly. And the whole reason that she was doing these interviews, they were press interviews, and it was after Nini just like dumped her as a friend and like totally ragged her out on camera. And then people are saying, so what's it like for Nini to dump you on TV again? And she's like, well, you know, I'm sick of letting her make everything about herself, you know, whatever. I mean...
But she wasn't saying
Cynthia
things...
Cynthia did get caught in a huge lie at the end there.
Yeah, but, you know, like, Nini's
also... But I don't
also...
even care.
But, you know, the thing is this, though. Cynthia, at least from these clips, because that's all I base it off of, you know, Cynthia wasn't saying, oh, Nini is weak, Nini is this or that. She's basically saying, the friendship is over, you know, I deserve better, I should be treated, this is how I feel, this is what I think, and she's talking about the friendship. But Nini's like, she's weak, and she's sad, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, on the day that she knows that she's going to see Cynthia, or like a day before.
Yeah.
So, Eva comes up and they talk about, you know, how mean he is. And she's like, why does she do that? And Cynthia said, because she can. That's what she does, which at least she knows. But then Cynthia's like, you know, she's calling me desperate. I'm desperate not to be your friend anymore. Your wig is desperate. I'm like, all right, Cynthia. You know, Cynthia.
I'll take victories where I can get them. Like, if Cynthia is feeling empowered right now and wants to make a wig joke, I'm going to support it.
I want Cynthia to stay in her nice Cynthia lane, even though I've complained about Cynthia's nice lane for years.
You know, I like Cynthia. You know, speaking of lanes, I like this when Cynthia said, you know, Nene throws everyone under the bus. She is the bus. Nene is a bus.
Nene is the bus.
Yeah, that she's in the bus lane.
That's funny.
Actually, oh, see, that would be great if Cynthia said that. Child, you need to stay in your lane, the bus lane. Do you guys like that? That was my Cynthia, my sassy Cynthia impersonation.
That was so
I liked Eva. I also liked Eva when she said, listen, but Nene, I don't trust her as far as I can. I don't trust her as far as I can throw her, and she looks very dense and heavy. I need that Eva. I need that Eva all the time. I don't need Eva looking at houses, complaining about like rooms. I need Eva being shady at all times, because Eva. We were just talking, so we had some friends backstage at the Chicago show. Michael and Stefan.
I hate when you can see my face.
And that's okay. I always know when you're yawning anyway. Just kidding. No, but we had, so Michael and Stefan were backstage in the Chicago shows, and we're talking about, like, you know, Claudia Jordan has been, to this day, the only person who has ever been able to read Nene for filth, like, just destroy her. And then, of course, she was gone. And Eva has the ability. She's like some sort of, like, Star Wars thing, like Luke Skywalker or something, like, before he realized.
No, he was a pussy. Okay. Like Yoda.
Sure.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Meaning that, like, he has it in it. She's like Neo, or she's like Neo, you know, and she needs to learn the Kung Fu.
Like, she's Neo on the offense.
She can do it. She has the potential, but she won't. She
will.
I hope she does. I want her to read Nene. I want her to destroy.
She's ready to go this year. She'll do it pregnant. She'll do it with a baby arms coming right out. Like, she'll do it crowning. She's ready to go.
Well, you know, this dense and happy remark, you know, Andy Cohen's going to bring it up at the reunion, and Nene's going to be, like, act all offended that she was called dense and heavy. You know, she's going to be so mad.
How dare you? I'm just working on the pride of my body. So, all right, everybody, let's just take a break.
And then the scene, so now, like, they're pretty much done talking about this stuff, and then the scene randomly keeps going, because then, like, Noelle calls, and it's like, hey, Mom. Hey, Noelle. Is Gary, the makeup guy, still there? Yeah. He's still here. You need some help? Yeah, I need help with my lashes. Okay, just come on downstairs. Okay, bye.
I can't get my eyelashes on, Mom. Like, well, glad you woke up for this, Noelle.
I was like, okay. And then the scene just ends. I was like, wait, oh, was that essential information?
Now, this is weird. So we all know we're breaking the fourth wall, right? Because it's the Pride Parade, and it's all these different housewives on the same float that says Bravo really big. So
this is a very, like, we're big pretending meta
this
moment.
Is something else. Yeah, it's meta. But it is really weird to watch it all unfold, because they're like the star. And I'm wondering how it's going to work on every different season, because every person from those seasons is going to be the star of that scene on their season.
Like they were filming.
Right. Right. But don't you think they'll use that footage in every season?
Well,
I guess
I think it all depends on if Andy Cohen's going to be featured also. If he is, then yes.
So everybody's there, and Dorinda just looks so desperate. She looks like a weird fan chasing everybody around. Like,
oh my God. She's basically me on that float. That's like, it's like, is that Ben Mandelker dressed as Dorinda? Because that would be me. I'd be trying to, like, corner every single person. Kelly Dodd's just dancing. Leanne's up there, like, flopping around. Sonia, too.
Captain Sandy.
Classic Marge. Tinsley in this, like, really strange getup. So then Andy's there, too, which is really, that's a really weird breaking the wall moment, because he hosts the reunion. And, like, the whole thing is, like, theoretically, these shows exist in a different space, like, but the whole concept, at least in the beginning, way back when, is that we're just, like, flies on the wall watching these people live their lives. And this is, like, definitely an acknowledgement that they are, like, their lives,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, and we know that, but it's just, like, it was just very strange, especially when Andy started talking to Nene.
Yeah, he's like, don't be mad. She's like, why would I be mad? And he's like, Because we have, we're playing a song in a set. We're playing Don't Be Tardy for the Party. It's on the playlist. She goes, what playlist? It's like, Nini. Like, make some effort. Nini probably signed her contract literally 5 minutes before this walking up the stairs.
Yeah, and Andy's just, like, smiling, like, so happy to see, like see if Nini's going to be uncomfortable.
Trying to start a fight, like, on an actual Housewives show.
Oh, my God.
So, some guy, some reporter or something, is asking Cynthia, is Nini going to get on the float? And Cynthia's like, well, Nini is definitely a supporter of the LG... he's like,
Cynthia's weak.
LGBTQ chill community. So hopefully she shows up. So then, dun, 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 Nini comes up. And a reporter's like, how does it feel to be here today? And you see just Dorinda behind Nini going, hey, hey, Nini, leave me, baby.
Yeah, so then Nini is like walking and she's gonna walk up the stairs to Cynthia. And she goes, who is that? I'm going to go and make sure to say hi to her. And she walks up to and looks like she's approaching Cynthia. And it's like, dun, 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 to be continued. My money is she's going to walk right by Cynthia and give a hug to Kelly Dodd.
Yeah, I'll bet you. That's what you said last week, and I was excited to see if that was actually going to happen this week. And I bet it does next week. I mean, well, who can even get through the week while we're waiting to find out?
I guess we'll have to wait to see what happens at this pivotal pride float moment. I think we'll somehow survive.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us. Hope this audio wasn't too terrible. Sure fun to recap with you, Ben.
Really fun to recap with you, too.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow with Bloedick.
Bye.
Bye.
Let's begin our nighttime relaxation. You've never felt more... Feel your eyelids getting... Now let yourself lay back and get a good night of... When cold and flu symptoms won't let you sleep, ask for Night Nurse. Its unbeatable strength helps put cold and flu to bed. Only available at the pharmacy counter. For cold and flu relief, visit dayandnightnurse.co.uk/verify for verification. Always read the label.